Oh, where is this radio program for seniors? I can't find it. Errol, what's this radio thing called that we're looking for seniors?
Oh, I don't know, Arthur. Isn't it wireless something or something wireless? You should have written it down when I told you to.
Hang on. I think this might be it.
You're listening to Radio Coda.
Found it.
Hello and welcome back to Radio Coda, a weekly podcast radio show for older Queenslanders, proudly brought to you by the Council on the Ageing Queensland. I'm your host Andy Neal, and as always, it's great to have your company. So grab a cuppa, put your feet up, and let's see what we've got in store for you on the show this week.
Founded in 1957, Council on the Ageing, CODA Queensland, is a not-for-profit organisation advancing the rights, needs and futures of people as we age. Working in partnership with the Queensland Government, local councils, community organisations and the community to create an age-friendly Queensland. To join or to find out more, visit cotaqld.org.au or phone 1300 738 348.
Radio Coda.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
Hello and welcome to Radio Coda podcast number 56, part 2 of our Human Rights series. It's great to have you back joining us for another show. This week we're having a chat with Amy McVie in regards to the Human Rights Act and what's in it for us.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
It's wonderful this morning to be joined by Amy McVie, an experienced lawyer who has worked across private, non-government and community sectors internationally and in Australia. Recently, Amy has worked as an advisor on gender perspectives to the United Nations Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous People. In 2016, Amy became the Director of Disability Law Queensland, providing families with access to affordable, accessible and expert legal services. Currently the coordinator for the Campaign for Human Rights Queensland. Amy, good morning and welcome to Radio Coda.
Oh, good morning and thanks so much for having me.
It's very much our pleasure, Amy. And perhaps just to start off, if you could explain to us a little bit about your role and what it is you're doing at the moment.
Sure. So I'm coordinating a campaign for a Human Rights Act for Queensland. And really what that means is trying to coordinate the activities of over 30 community organisations who are all working together to support or promote or push for the introduction of a Human Rights Act for Queensland.
Right. It's a big job.
Yes.
A lot of organisations to keep together there.
Yes, we have organisations from all over Queensland that represent the interests of really diverse groups of people. So people with disabilities, aged people, Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people, children, women, people representing people in prisons. So there's a broad coalition of organisations that can all see the benefit of human rights legislation for the people that they work with.
Right. And you've been working on this for a while now, Amy?
Yeah, so in 2015, when Peter Wellington supported the Labor Party to form government in Queensland, there were letters of exchange between Anastasia Palaszczuk and Peter Wellington, an independent member for Nicholin. And in that letters of exchange, there was a commitment given by Anastasia Palaszczuk to look at the issue of a Human Rights Act for Queensland and prepare a report on it.
Right.
And so then what happened from there was that a whole bunch of community organisations got together and started to think about how this could be transformed into something more meaningful, and that would be human rights legislation. So since then, we've had a campaign launch, which led to a commitment from the Attorney General to holding a human rights inquiry. Then there was a human rights inquiry held through the parliamentary committee system, which received over 500 submissions, overwhelmingly supporting Human Rights Act. And the report that followed from the inquiry, the government members of that inquiry recommended that a Human Rights Act be introduced.
Right.
And so that report came down in June last year, and then in November last year, the Premier made a commitment to introducing a Human Rights Act for Queensland.
Okay.
It's been a long time coming, but I know the change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
Nobody can predict the future, so planning ahead can bring peace of mind to you, your family, and your friends. Planning ahead can ensure your financial, medical, and personal wishes are respected and followed. Code of Queensland have developed information sessions about choosing an enduring power of attorney, planning ahead, and how to identify key people in your life who know and respect you, and, should they be required, will act on your wishes. These sessions are free, interactive, and available from February 2017 until May 2018 in various locations throughout Queensland. If you're part of a community or seniors group and think this session would benefit your members, contact bookings at cotaqld.org.au or phone 1300 738 348 for more information or to make a booking for your community or seniors group. This project is funded by the Queensland Government, Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services, with the support of the Public Trustee.
What are we listening to?
Radio Coda.
And so where are we at with it at this stage?
Yeah, great question, Andy. So really exciting that in November we had that commitment from the Premier, but we haven't seen a lot since then. So again, a big group of over 30 community organisations got together and wrote to the Attorney General asking her to take some action before the next election.
Okay.
Because obviously these types of commitments are really vulnerable to elections and changes in government. And
yes,
we don't know what type of government we will have in Queensland,
yes,
after the next election.
Mm.
And also historically, this type of reform has been vulnerable to changes in government. So just as an example, in Western Australia, they had a similar experience where they had an inquiry. They had a report in 2007 that said that a Human Rights Act should be introduced. We had a commitment from the West Australian government to introducing an act. There was an election in 2008 and the Labor Party lost government.
Right.
And so then that commitment went nowhere.
Mm.
It's so similar to what's happening here in Queensland that we just are quite nervous about.
A bit of deja vu, yeah.
Yeah, so really, really calling on the government to take some action before an election and at least to introduce a bill so we can start having a more informed conversation about the content of that bill.
There's a few roadblocks along the way that you need to deal with, obviously.
Yes, there are, yes. So obviously a commitment to introducing an act doesn't mean that the next day then we have human rights legislation. It means that the government's committed to introducing it, so they have to then obviously develop a bill. It has to be introduced to Parliament. We refer to the committee system, presume for consultation. It'll come back before Parliament and then passed into law.
Right.
So we don't know when the next election's going to be, but we know that it's probably not that far away in terms of how long they can go for.
Mm.
So with that whole process in mind, we really need to see some action soon.
Definitely. And I guess the big question, Amy, pulling out the crystal ball,
mm-hmm,
for the future, as everything starts to come together and the Human Rights Act is put together, ultimately, what does it mean to the average Queenslander, and particularly the over 50s in Queensland?
Yeah, so I guess the over 50s in Queensland is a great example or cohort of people to talk about, because as people age, I guess they may experience vulnerability for the first time in their lives.
Right.
So they may become more reliant on service providers. They may be calling on government services more regularly, and they may then experience, because of their vulnerability, treatment that doesn't really comply with human rights standards. So potentially they're not being treated consistently with the right to be treated humanely, with dignity, have their privacy respected, have their right to family respected. And when people experience those limitations to their rights, they can sometimes then go looking for the source of those rights. So how do I hold a service provider or a government agency accountable when they're not respecting my rights?
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, in Queensland, when you go looking for those rights, you won't find those rights protected in law in the way that you would expect them to be.
Mm.
You don't have an easy way to complain to say, this service provider or this government agency hasn't protected my human rights, has limited them unjustifiably. There is nowhere to bring that complaint, no way to make that complaint. So with a Human Rights Act, what should be the result of that is that an aging person who's experiencing treatment that doesn't comply with human rights standards can make a complaint.
Right.
And we would say that an act needs to introduce a forum or a place that's accessible, that's cost effective, that everyday Queenslanders can make complaints to and have complaints resolved.
Mm.
It doesn't necessarily have to involve lawyers or complicated court cases. What we'd be asking for is an accessible forum for complaints to be resolved.
Mm, mm.
It's been a long time coming, but I know the change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
Radio Coda has been created for you, our listeners. Email us at radiocota@cotaqld.org.au to give us your feedback, offer topic suggestions, share your stories and let us know what interests you. Radio Coda is funded by the Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services in Queensland. Send us a line, we would love to hear from you.
You're listening to Radio Coda.
I guess in the end for folks, it's to bring it right down to ground level. It's all about, in the end, what's in it for me from their point of view.
Yes.
So from what I'm hearing there, it's definitely a form of protection for people, but also an avenue for them to be able to approach someone if the
right
thing isn't being done by them.
And just a really concrete example, I guess, there was a case in the United Kingdom where they do have Human Rights Act, where an elderly couple were in an aged care facility and they were sharing a bed like they had throughout their marriage.
Hmm.
One of the couple's support needs changed and the care provider wanted to separate them into separate beds because it would be more convenient for them to provide the services in that way.
Hmm.
There was absolute public outcry because people understood that that was not in compliance with their human rights legislation.
Absolutely.
Those people have a right to family. Now, contrast that in Queensland. We don't have those human rights protections. We don't have a Human Rights Act that we can call on or refer to when those types of situations occur.
Mm. No, well, it's a great thing that you're doing there, Amy. And timeline-wise, I know it's very hard with the variables of upcoming elections and that kind of thing, but is there a timeline that you're hoping that it will all come together and it will all fall into place?
Look, certainly. I mean, one is to say we'd like an act before an election. If the election, say, isn't until next year, then we'd hope that the act would be in place by the end of the year.
Sure.
If not before that. But I guess what's really important is that people that think that this is something that would be beneficial to them or to other Queenslanders that support this type of reform should let the Premier know.
Mm.
So I guess the important thing is that anyone who feels that a Human Rights Act would benefit them or benefit people they know generally should let the Premier know, should let the Attorney General know,
mm.
aware of the community support behind the campaign for a Human Rights Act for Queensland.
Yeah, very important too. I guess approaching their local member and so on, I was going to ask you the question of how we can actually show our support for it and raise our voice and raise our hand as people that are on the end of all this, that we feel the need for this to be in place.
Sure, yeah, lots of ways. So writing to your local member, the Attorney General and the Premier are wonderful steps to take. Writing a letter to the editor of the Courier Mail is another.
Yeah.
Also, find us on Facebook and like the campaign page. Sign up for updates on our website because every time there's a particular turning point in the campaign, we do let everyone know.
Right. Very important point. What is the website address there?
It's www.humanrights.com. And then a 4QLD.com.au.
Okay, so that's the number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Well, it's been very much our pleasure today to be speaking with Amy McVee, and a lot of questions answered, I guess, along the way, Amy, and a lot of information that gives us cause to think for the future and how we can be involved in helping to get this very important act into place.
Great. Thanks so much, Andy.
Thank you for your time. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Bye.
Bye now.
It's been a long time coming, but I know the change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
You're listening to Radio COTA.
In our That's What You Think segment for this week, our intrepid roving reporter, Ben Tilney, hits the streets to ask people what they think it is that's great about growing older in Queensland. Take it away, Ben.
What is great about growing older in Queensland?
Queensland's a great place, so putting that aside, I think Queensland is a great place to age because there are lots of facilities and there are lots of communities that will help the ageing. I think that for some people, they don't know about these things and they become isolated. But in general, I think Queensland's probably one of the best places in the world to grow old.
I think you get a more mature outlook on things, like when you've got children and that, things that worry you. But as you get older, I think you sort of can sit back and think, hey, that's not real. You know, you can rationalise things a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just things that you can do. Yeah. Like having over 50s clubs and just so many different things to do, to keep us busy.
Mm-hmm.
I've retired, so I've been retired 5 years, and I do, you can go and do so much once you turn 50, Get onto websites and find out what's going on, and that's actually how I found this,
Options are just endless. Going to a retirement village, they've got pools, they've got mobiles. Everything in a retirement village, and here being central in the town hall, you've got over 50, so there's lists of oodles of things to do. And with regard to people of any age, really, so long as they're under 50, can do simple things like Pilates or yoga or Tai Chi even, to things that are more difficult, like at the moment, painting. I think there's a sculpture class as well. I think that's challenging for a lot of people, but it's great because it keeps their mind active.
Well, I think we, for 9 months of the year, we have reasonably good weather, which I come from Sydney, and I find the weather in Queensland, in Brisbane particularly, it is lovely for most of the year. I think you can get out in the open, in the fresh air. There is a lot going on for the people in Queensland, if you care to look. I mean, just this over 50s club that we come to here, you know, there's so many things we can do. We have integration with other people. From my age group, in my 80s, it's just wonderful. If you take the opportunities that arise.
Yes.
I left all my friends in Sydney, but I came here to this club 18 years ago, and, you know, I've made lovely friends. Just lovely people that you can meet and have a chat with and go and have a cup of coffee with without being, you know, in each other's pockets.
Yes.
Just to be able to discuss something that maybe, you know, that maybe is on your mind and you might just another opinion.
Yeah.
What should I do about this? You know, have you had any experience with this? And you think, oh, that's good. That's a little bit of advice I wouldn't have had if I hadn't come in.
Yeah.
And you might come in feeling quite tired and languid and think, oh, I don't know about that life. I want to exercise at that. Once you get here, you do it and you feel so much better. Mm-hmm.
Radio Gota.
You know, Arthur, this weather's been so hot, I reckon our electricity bill's going to go through the roof. And we haven't even been using our air conditioner this summer. every time the power bill comes in, I feel like it's been written in another language. It's just so hard to understand. Prices are forever changing and those tariff thingies are so confusing.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. My old mate Bert was saying there were changes made in the electricity market last year, which means electricity retailers can charge us whatever they want. Bert said it also means now that we can shop around for a better deal.
Be that as it may, Arthur, it's all too confusing, and I just don't have the time to be chasing around trying to sort it all out.
Well, you won't have to worry about that, Beryl. Have you heard about the Switched On Seniors?
No, I haven't. Switched On Seniors? Sounds like some kind of head-banging rock band.
Ah, you're a funny old bird you are, Beryl. No, it's a free information session that's being offered to seniors groups, and it helps explain all the electricity changes.
Well, that certainly sounds like a good idea, Arthur. Do you think they'd do one of those information sessions where our seniors group usually meets?
Well, that's the great part. You know that Radio Kota podcast thingy we listen to each week? Well, apparently the Kota Queensland people have what they call peer educators, and they travel all over southeast Queensland visiting seniors groups just like ours.
Well, that certainly makes it a lot easier. Let's sign up for that then.
I totally agree with you, my darling. So can you get on to organising that, please? I'm just a wee bit busy at the moment.
Busy? You're sprawled out in that old armchair of yours watching the cricket. Don't put your feet on the coffee table. You must have been born in a shed.
Opportunities are limited, so book early to secure a session for your seniors group or organisation. Visit www.cotaqld.org.au to obtain a booking form or email bookings at cotaqld.org.au. Here on Radio Kota, it's time for the news.
According to a report by the University of Queensland and the Queensland University of Technology, many families do not access legal services for succession planning because they have not been able to find a trusted professional who has knowledge of disability and the disability sector, and also because of the costs associated with obtaining this type of assistance. Disability Law Queensland was developed to fill this gap, providing assistance in relation to developing wills and trusts, decision-making, including powers of attorney, guardianship and administration, human rights such as disability discrimination, administrative law reviewing decisions made by the National Disability Insurance Agency, and other issues. To register your interest in having an appointment with Disability Law Queensland or for more information, please call 3622 1250. The recent budget announcement had some welcome news in regards to the government's commitment to fund the full cost of the National Disability Insurance Scheme, secured by an increase of 0.5% to the Medicare levy if Parliament agrees. This should raise around $9.1 billion over the next 4 years that will go into the NDIS Savings Fund special account to pay for the NDIS after the full rollout in 2019. This announcement gives certainty to people with disability about the future of supports under the NDIS. Some of the announcements in the budget include $209 million to establish an independent NDIS Quality and Safeguards Commission, which will oversee the quality of NDIS providers, $33 million over 3 years to employ 25 regional workforce coordinators and 10 national coordinators across Australia to assist service providers to expand the disability and aged care workforce needed as a result of the NDIS and the ageing population. $80 million for critical psychosocial support programs for people who have a disability as a result of a mental illness but are not eligible for the NDIS. $3 billion investment over the next 4 years in welcome reforms to disability employment services that enables job seekers to choose their providers and change providers more easily. $374.2 million over 2 years from 2017-18 for the expansion of the National e-Health Record System, and support for people who have served in the forces by reinstating the backdating of payments to veterans under the Veterans Disability Pension rather than from the date of the claim. The government also announced measures to increase the supply of affordable housing and ongoing funding for homelessness services. The Australian government is focused on improving outcomes for older people in Australia through support for wellness and reablement approaches. Wellness and reablement is about helping older people to live independently, achieve their goals, stay connected to their communities, and improve their quality of life. The survey for this closed on the 25th of May. However, more information about this survey can be found at www.wellnessreablementreview.com.au. Increasingly, we are all expected to access and research information online. So what happens if you don't have access to the internet or are confident of using the World Wide Web? In recognition of this, the Commonwealth Government has been investing in the Broadband for Seniors program. The program provides free access to basic computer training for anyone aged 50 years and over. The training is provided online or via seniors' kiosks located around Australia. Volunteer tutors assist individuals to achieve their individual goals. Once people have completed some basic training, they are welcome and encouraged to use the kiosk computer and the internet for their everyday online needs, which is handy for people without internet or computer access at home. Broadband for Seniors has already assisted over 650,000 seniors since its establishment in 2008. Check out http://bfseniors.com.au for further information, or if you're interested in volunteering your time to become a tutor at a Broadband for Seniors kiosk. Cultura is a new resource for aged care staff working with people from culturally diverse backgrounds and is an initiative of Alzheimer's Australia. Cultura is the new app for people who care for individuals with dementia who know the importance of understanding that each person's culture is as unique as their fingerprint. The app and website assist staff to provide culturally appropriate support to enable them to better relate and communicate with individuals from different cultures and includes comprehensive information about each culture, including traditions, spirituality, communication and attitudes, dementia, other health issues and aged care. The free app can be downloaded from the App Store and is available for both iPad and iPhone, making the information easily accessible whenever it is required. Head to www.itunes.apple.com and search for Cultura, C-U-L-T-U-R-A. Men's Health Week. Andrology Australia provides themed resources, posters and brochures for Men's Health Week that provide a wonderful opportunity for men to recognise the importance of their health and to visit the doctor for any health concerns. This year there are two themes. If men can talk about match fitness of sportsmen, then why is it sometimes hard to discuss their own health? Keep yourself on a good wicket this Men's Health Week. If men can look after their families, then why is it sometimes hard to discuss their own health? Keep your story going this Men's Health Week. Show your support by having a display of resources or holding a men's health event and encourage men to talk about their health concerns. Order or download free resources at www.andrologyaustralia.org/men's-health-week or call 1300 303 878. Andrology Australia is the leading Australian authority on male reproductive health disorders, including erectile dysfunction, testosterone deficiency, male infertility, testicular cancer and prostate disease, including prostate cancer. Their mission is to raise awareness of men's health issues. Visit www.andrologyaustralia.org for more information. Andrology Australia is funded by the Government Department of Health and administered by Monash University. Men's Health Week, 12th to 18th of June. Gold Coast victims of domestic violence get mobile support. Domestic violence help will be driving to the doors of Gold Coast women and children with the rollout of the region's first standalone mobile support service. Minister for the Prevention of Domestic and Family Violence, Shannon Fentiman, said $1.1 million would be provided to Centrecare to run the mobile domestic and family violence support service on the Gold Coast. For more information, contact Centrecare.
Radio Kota is produced by Riversong Productions for the Council on the Aging Queensland.
You're listening to Radio Kota.